Quinn, I know there's some things you can't talk about, but...
Yeah, I should probably preface, you want me to do an initial comment, that there's obviously, I can't talk about details of things that either haven't happened or it's not appropriate, so you know what that means, so continue.
Yes. The trade that has been announced, Jock Landale, what does he bring to you? I know he was here this morning for shoot around, and at least around the team, but what does he bring to you?
Well, on the most fundamental level, we lost Dante and Bali to an ACL early in the year. Kristaps obviously wasn't as available as we thought he may be at the beginning of the year. So, and then kind of highlights it recently. Christian Koloko's done a terrific job. He's a two-way. Asa Newell's done a terrific job. He's a rookie. And Mo's done a terrific job. And he's in his second year, his first year in the NBA. So having someone that can not just provide us depth at a minimum, that's durable, that has a veteran presence, that in and of itself is helpful. Secondly, I think the type of player that he is one that's able to easily acclimate into a new situation. I think, his skill set, shooting the ball more from three this year, and he's also capable of putting the ball on the floor, making a pass, making a play. The last thing I'd say is he brings a level of competitiveness. He just plays hard. I've known about him for a long time. Ironically, I was playing the Jazz tonight. Joe Ingles has been in my ear about him. I don't know how long it's been. When he was really young, he doesn't remember that, I'm sure. But so I've followed Jock throughout the course of his time in the NBA, and I think it's a really good addition for our team.
Point to your right. How much do you empathize with the guys on your roster for these couple of days going into the day where, for them, there's a lot of uncertainty and unknown of what's to come?
Yeah, I think we've all had times in our life that, circumstances, out of your control. And I think the hard thing with that is you never quite want to, accept it. Just because if there's a small chance that something's going to happen, you want to try to impact it in some way. And always hard to see players that have vested, that you begin to formulate some real relationship. It doesn't take long in this league to develop a relationship that has some depth because of what you go through. It's such an intense experience. So that's got to be challenging. I obviously haven't experienced from a player standpoint, but I have from a coach's standpoint. And, I think the overriding thing is, regardless of, the results, you hope that the time that players spend with you helps their career, helps them in some way, and you root for them and their future success.
Quinn, we often try to understand the perspective from the players during the trade deadline, but for you as a coach, when you have night in and night out, you're trying to prepare for the team that you have. How is that for you during that time period as you're trying to game plan with who you have there and not knowing if things are going to be different?
Yeah, it's significant. We've had four or five different iterations of a team this year. Team that we planned for in the summer that we never really had. A team in November that was different, where guys found different roles and kind of a resurrection of a previous team for about a two-week period. Then Trey being traded was significant. Then these guys, CJ and Corey, becoming acclimated, which is kind of another version of the team that we took up into Boston. And then you lose Jalen and O for a while. O still being out. There's a lot of teams in this league that could probably kind of lay that narrative out. But the trade deadline and those moves, click another iteration of that in. So it's a lot of the things that we look at, like you know, particularly late game, because that those are some of the things coaches think about the most, and what you're going to do strategically and tactically. We look a little different from our coaches' retreat in August when we were thinking about where we wanted to go with the ball to get a bucket. So that part of it continues to expand. You know, you're just the most obvious thing, and you know, what are you running side out of bounds, and who's getting the ball, and you know, someone's left-handed, someone's right-handed. But that's, you know, that's the job, and I think the key thing is to really embrace it. Look at it as a challenge, and try to make those decisions and adapt, you know, as best you can. But it's, you know, it comes every year. We'll have a trade deadline again next year.
So Quinn, Hawks are number two in base, the Jazz are number three right now.
I'm sorry?
The Hawks are second in pace, Jazz are number three. What do you think is the biggest factor in tonight's game, trying to limit their pace, but still being able to, you're still being able to get your own guys' pace and affect the game that way?
Yeah, our pace has kind of gone up and down in some respects. As Jalen's pushed the ball up the court even more, we're not passing ahead as much. So the ball isn't crossing half court as quickly. That said, Jalen's, you know, in the scoring area and making passes and still pressing the pace. So it sounds crazy, but I feel like we're a work in progress with that as well. And the overarching goal is, to me, still the same, because, you know, that's the best way for us to play. One of the key things to the pace is taking care of the basketball. You know, if you're able to take care of the ball, you know, you limit the other team's pace, because that's tough to defend against those things. And I think the same is true of, you know, getting good shots. As far as us, you know, we want to have multiple guys have the opportunity to bring it ahead and pass ahead. And, you know, depending on what the defense looks at a given time, not just getting the ball across half court, but trying to get into a position where you're putting pressure on the rim. So I didn't tell you how to stop the Jazz. If you know how to stop Collier from running the ball down your throat, let me know, because he's really good at that. And they throw ahead, and they do a lot of things that are really difficult. And one of the best ways we can stop them is to get good shots and take care of the ball.
Coach, in the second half of the Miami game, Jalen, he was very precise with his passes and has some really big passes. For you, I know you talked about how he's involved as a scorer, his decision making as a scorer, but where have you seen from his playmaking perspective?
I think he's one of the best half court passers that we have in the league, and some of that's just his ability to see over the top of the defense. You know, Jalen picking his spots, whether it's later in the shot clock, certain points towards the end of the game, where he can be more of a destinational scorer. We need that. But there's other times when he is able to facilitate and, you know, raises his teammates' level. And we need that during the course of the game in order to be in the game when we need the other. So there's a lot, you know, you forget Jalen wasn't playing at this point last year, if I remember correctly. You know, he had shoulder surgery. So this year, in a lot of ways, you know, there's just a lot of growth that's going on. And I think, you know, for him to be able to have the freedom to make mistakes, hopefully he doesn't make the same ones over and over again, but he's really focused on getting better, and I think he's aware of, he might give you the same answer to the question you just asked. I hope he would.
Thanks, Coach.